When it comes to the value of a home, there are three leading factors: location, location, location. That's a smart, memorable truth, very helpful in the real estate industry. I believe the saying gained popularity in the 20th century. But Jesus Christ was using it many years before this, in a bit of a different way. He was certainly alluding to it. Now, Jesus was no agent. He was no investor, at least not in these development senses. But in Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27, Jesus uses this to make a point, this idea of location. He'll teach us that our lives are like a building. Each of our lives is like a home. Each of us is a builder. All of us are building on something. What we build on, its location, it determines a great deal. For example, the location reveals wisdom. The location indicates obedience. The location impacts longevity. The location affects durability. And the location determines eternity. This morning, we will visit two locations. Two different men build their lives in two different locations. We will inspect these two foundations to ensure that ours will stand, to ensure that our lives will stand in eternity. Our Lord concludes his preaching from the Sermon on the Mount this morning. This is the greatest sermon ever preached, and in it, he declares what it looks like to be a citizen of his kingdom. Jesus preached with authority. We'll see that in our text this morning. His preaching was unlike anything they'd heard before. His teaching eclipsed the best teachers and scribes among the Jewish people. The conclusion to this sermon is in that same vein. It is no different. Jesus ties it all together, Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house. And yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. When Jesus had finished these words, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one having authority and not as their scribes. Those who are wise both hear and act on the words of Jesus Christ. Now, these are the people we seek to be, people of wisdom. They're people of our first point this morning, people of a firm foundation. Now, in recent verses, going back before verse 24, Jesus has been teaching us about deeds. In verses 15 through 20, Jesus says we can spot false teachers by their deeds. He says you will know them by their fruit. The same is true for everyday Christians also. Over in Luke chapter 6, verse 44, that's a parallel passage, Jesus uses this same metaphor for believers. Each tree is known by its fruit. Back in verse 21 in Matthew 7, Jesus called for doers of God's will. He doesn't want people to be doers of lawlessness, but doers of God's will instead. So the therefore in today's passage in verse 24, it connects everything we will see to everything we just saw. It's this theme of doing. Not a doing that produces salvation, but a doing that proceeds from it. Jesus is not preaching a works-based gospel. He's been calling for a living in line with faith. In verse 21, it was saying and doing. You call Jesus Lord? Good, go live for the Lord. In verse 24, it's a hearing and doing. You heard Christ redeems? Go live as redeemed. It may even be that this concluding verse, these concluding verses, they summarize everything he's been teaching in the sermon. Each of us must make a choice. Jesus calls for a decision. And each of us will always only have two choices. We can respond as the wise or respond as the fool. We'll build on solid rock or we'll build on sinking sand. We'll hear his words and we'll do his words. Or we'll hear his words and disregard. Everyone makes a choice this morning. Each of us is responsible to God for what we hear. It's not possible to avoid a decision. To pass is to make a choice. To pass is to choose sand. To not make a choice is to be standing in sand. By the time the words "I don't know" are spoken, we are knee-deep in it. I don't know is a commitment. I don't know never works for our good, at least not in terms of these big life decisions. I mean, think about it. I don't know does not work if you're a surgeon. I don't know doesn't work if you're a sheriff. And I don't know doesn't work if you're a soldier. When it comes to standing before the Lord Jesus Christ, this great judge, the mighty prophet, we cannot say, I don't know. The fool hesitates. He delays. He punts on this. He hears the words of Jesus and he does nothing. But the wise hear the words of Christ and they act on them. That's the point of our Lord this morning. He calls for wisdom to hear his words and do them. To be wise, to make a wise choice. It's a choice that translates into action. James was the half-brother of the Lord, and it's unclear just when he came to saving faith in Jesus. He ends up writing a book entitled James. And he, just like Jesus, is the master illustrator. Throughout the book of James, he's great with his use of imagery and metaphors and analogies. And it's interesting in the book of James how often he borrows from the Sermon on the Mount. One wonders if he heard Jesus preach on that day. Listen to what he says in James chapter 1, verses 22 to 25. It correlates perfectly with what Jesus says this morning. Prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. Those who do the words of Christ are blessed. Jesus calls them wise. He says they build their house on a rock. These people are wise. They are sensible. They are thoughtful. They are prudent. Jesus uses the same word again when he exhorts his disciples in Matthew chapter 10, verse 16. Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be shrewd as serpents and innocent as doves. That word shrewd is the same word translated as wise in our passage this morning. In the context, we get this notion of discerning. God's people are discerning. They hear the words of Jesus and they apply them. They discern the words of Christ. This sermon is not one only to be studied. The Sermon on the Mount is a passage to be practiced. And in our passage this morning, the wise are building a house. They're digging. They're swinging hammers. They're cutting wood. The house represents your life. Every house or every life, we've seen this, it's built in one of two ways, either built on the words of Christ or built not on the words of Christ. And the wise understand that storms are coming. They understand that it is not sunshine every day. The wise understand that this dry season, that it will not last, that there are clouds on the horizon. Jesus says the rain falls and the floods come and the winds blow and slam against that house, and yet it does not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. For a season, I lived in Arizona, and I was surprised to find that it flooded in the desert. I was surprised by this, but it makes sense when you think about it. In the desert, in Palestine, in the time of Jesus as well, it's so hot all the time, the sun beats down, it cements the ground. So then when it does rain, the rain has no place to go and it floods. I presume that's the picture behind this illustration Jesus gives. In verse 25, there's this massive storm. This is the stuff people go to meteorology school for. This is extreme weather alert flashing across the bottom of the TV. This is not a drizzle. This is not a light rain. This is a rain that pours. It pours so much that it creates a flood. And then we can add wind to this. This is not the cool breeze you enjoy walking along the bay. This wind is severe. Jesus says it slams against the house. But this house does not fall. Jesus says it's founded upon the rock. Now, some will take this rock to mean Jesus Christ himself. Others believe the rock Jesus refers to is these words of mine, everything he has just been teaching. In the parallel account, over in Luke chapter 6, Jesus teaches the wise man dug deep. He dug deep. This is no cursory acquaintance with Christ. This is no introduction. This is not some casual interaction with Jesus. The wise man dug deep. I think about a college major. You know, you take a 101 level class, that's an introduction. That's like a general survey to some topic. As you advance up through your education, by the time you're at a senior level, you're taking 400-level classes. These are classes for the more advanced. That's what Jesus has in mind when it comes to this wise man. He dug down deep. He has a very real relationship with the risen Christ. This man is mature. He's well-fed on the words of Christ. He's partaking not of milk, but of solid food. His senses have become mature because he's discerned the words of Christ. He's put them into practice. He's exercised what he's learned. This man dug deep. His foundation runs deep because he knows storms are coming. Now, I want to be biblically clear about storms at this point. The storms of this life, our tests and our trials. I believe Jesus is speaking when he talks about this storm of the great day, that day of final judgment. Back in verse 22, he calls it, quote, that day. In other words, the wise person has heard the words of Christ. He's responded to them in faith. He's put them into practice. But the fool has heard the words of Christ. He's chosen not to follow them and not to put them into practice. on that great and final day, at the final judgment, there are two different consequences. But I think there's also a lesson here for today, for these current storms of life that you and I experience. I think there's practical application for them. Now, contrary to normal human thinking, the Bible depicts the storms of our lives as good. To refer back to James one more time, chapter 1, verse 2, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Storms enhance our faith. Storms confirm our faith. We can rejoice that our faith is tested now, before that final day. Storms will test our foundation. They will shake our foundation. They're going to prod the authenticity of our faith. That's what trials and tests will do. That's what temptation does. So it's good that we are tested. It's good to be pushed in our faith a bit. It's good that the underbelly of our faith is prodded. And it's good to be prepared to dig down deep today before those storms come. Because we know it's good that at any time we invest in a relationship with Jesus Christ. How much better to do that now, before those storms come, before the trial hits. We can't start mixing concrete when the skies darken. We can't run to the hardware store when it begins to rain. We build now for then. We establish ourselves on the words of Christ for the day of the storm. Because we know inevitably, storms will come. You know this. Storms come to each of us. We experience them in this life. But to wait for that storm to arrive, to be unprepared, to have these words, to have the Word of God, and to grasp the gospel, yet to neglect to do anything with it, that is unwise. So you and I can prepare for that storm today. And we do that by selecting the right location. Now, that may sound like a precursor to an insurance policy pitch, but I'm going to sell you something better. What I offer is much less expensive. It's more inclusive. And it never expires because it's the Word of God. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you hear his words and if you build upon them, you are pouring a firm foundation. You are building on a rock. Because then when the storms come, you are ready. These storms come in all kinds of seasons. We experience storms in all manner. There's the storm of sickness. There's even a life-threatening disease we may experience. These afflictions that will not go away. There's the storm of financial loss. Losing a job or losing an investment. There's the storm of success. When we prosper or when we're promoted, that's a test. There's the storm of relationships, hurt caused by people we love, children that depart, prodigals. There's all kinds of storms. And Jesus gives us words of life. He calls us to pour the foundation today, to build upon him, to build upon his word. The wise man hears the words of Christ and he acts on them. And I am sure that everyone in this room this morning has wisdom to some extent. Perhaps it's wisdom in the vocation in which you work. Maybe you went to college and you received an advanced degree. Maybe you're wise because people have recognized your skill in the workplace. Maybe you're a professional mom or a professional dad. You've honed the art of parenting over the years. There are seniors in the room here who have accumulated life experience they can then give as wisdom All of us have wisdom in some measure, in some area. Use that wisdom in the same way you accumulated that and apply that now spiritually. Because I'm equally convinced that there are people in this room who are not building on Christ, who have not heard the gospel call of Christ and acted. This morning, Christ calls you to come build upon him. He says, repent and believe, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And if you turn from your sin, if you believe that Christ died and rose again for your sin, you will be saved from hell. Amen. And you can begin to build this new life in Christ with the promise of seeing him, with the promise of heaven, with the promise of eternity in God's presence. That is wisdom, to not only hear that message, but to act on it. To say, yes, Lord, I believe. Yes, Lord, I trust in you. That is wisdom for eternity. And for believers here this morning, I know you've already taken that step. Wisdom for us is to dig down deep. To dig down deep. Not just to skim the surface on God's word, but to dig down. To mature, to take classes, to study the Bible, to do everything we can to learn and grow in our relationship with the Word and with the Lord. Build a firm foundation. Secondly, verses 26 to 27, avoid the failed foundation. Build on a firm foundation and avoid that failed foundation. This failed foundation in these verses is the one that has heard the words of Christ and has failed to act. Jesus says, everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. This is to understand the Bible, but neglect to apply it. This is to hear the scriptures read, but fail to change. This is to take in another sermon, but then depart unmoved. The fool sat and listened to Jesus preach this message many, many years ago, and he got up from that hillside and departed unchanged. Jesus calls this foolish. He says, this is like building on sand. We get our English word moron from the Greek word for fool in verse 26. The fool has been making poor decisions already in Matthew chapter 7. If you look back, in verse 13, he's entered through the wide gate. He travels the broad way. In verse 15, he entertains false teachers. In verse 16, he fails to discern them. In verse 21, he calls Jesus Lord, but does not do God's will. And in verses 22 to 23, he performs powerful deeds but has no relationship with Jesus. That is foolish or moronic. Ironically, he has much in common with the wise man in our passage. If you look at the comparison that Jesus makes in these verses, almost everything lines up. Both of them select a site for their homes. Both build a house for themselves. Both build, presumably, in that same area. Both receive the same storm. They're both hit by the same severe storm, and both receive an outcome. So in this type of a picture, it's what is different that really draws our attention. One man was wise, one was foolish. One built upon the rock, one built upon sand. One house did not fall, the other suffered a great fall. And Jesus points to the foundation. If you've ever built a structure, you know there's a great difference between plopping it simply on top of the ground and digging a foundation on which to build. Long-term stability takes more time. It takes more effort. Long-term stability costs more. I hope you're hearing the parallels that Jesus is drawing to our Christian life. Spiritually speaking, the wise man puts in more effort. It costs him more. And he's putting in more time. The quick, easy, convenient builder, he's going to suffer. And this is a wonderful lesson for contemporary Christianity. For the Sunday morning saint, this drive-through, microwavable, inflatable, on-demand Christianity marketed to us by our culture. When the storms come, great is the fall. So there must be some rolling up of the sleeves for our faith. Some kind of soreness, some stretching. In a book entitled Disciplines of a Godly Man, Kent Hughes calls it a spiritual sweat. Each of us is building our lives on something. And what we get out of our Christian life, it's the direct result of what we put into it. Rising early to read the scriptures and pray, that may mean fatigue. Memorizing the Bible, that's going to cause a callus. Or at least it'll feel that way. And sharing Christ with the lost, that may very well result in injury. But just as pains come with digging down deep, so too will there be pains when we hear the word of God and when we act. But this is the promise of God, that it will be worth it. It'll be worth it. Not only now, but so much more in the life to come. When the storms come now, we'll have what we need to navigate them. When we stand before Christ on that great and final day, we'll know that we're founded upon a rock. In the end, the fool refuses, and he pays dearly. The rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell. Great was its fall. Here the fool is unprepared. He has failed to foresee the storm. His quick home, his easy, expedient home, it has failed that test. He's built a mobile home. He's planted a trailer in Tornado Alley. Jesus says this is true for those who hear and fail to do. Great is the fall. Jesus has used the picture of two builders to call you and I to action this morning, to not just hear what he said, but to go and do. The one who built upon sand is the hearer of the word. The one who built upon rock is a doer of the word. I saw last month marked the 2-year anniversary of Hurricane Michael. Hurricane Michael touched down in Mexico Beach, Florida, when it came up upon the United States. That community has that unfortunate distinction of being the location where the hurricane made landfall. And wind speeds 160 miles per hour leveled homes up and down that coastline. All except for one. In this graveyard of homes, one home remained. There's this devastation looking up and down the coast. But here there's this one home. It's 2 or 3 stories high, standing there as though it was untouched. Well, the homeowner, took an interview and described his thinking in building his home. Applied to our sermon this morning, or its theme, it's particularly instructive. It's spiritually instructive. He says this, he says, quote, "We paid attention to every detail from the ground up. We went above code, and we asked ourselves what would survive the big one." Now we'll apply that to what we've learned this morning. We paid attention to every detail from the ground up. That's the call of God upon our lives, to pay attention to every detail. To not allow sin to rot the structure of our spiritual condition or our spiritual lives. to not merely hear the word, but to do it, to not pick out just the easy portions and do those, but to pay attention to every detail of our lives. He says that we went above code. You see, this home did not survive because it compared itself with other homes up and down the beach. Status quo Christianity is built upon minimums. What is the minimum I can do to get by? What is average? What is the norm? Christ is calling for much more than that. He's calling for passion. He's calling for conviction. He's calling for some fire lit within our hearts. See, to withstand these storms, our lives must be built upon the Word of God, not what the guy next door is doing, not what the average is in the local church. Christ is calling for all of our hearts and all of His Word. These footings, that we might say, need to run deeper than just some mere acquaintance, than that level 101 familiarity. And finally, if we ask Jesus, as this guy made evident, what kind of life is the one that will survive the big one? Well, by now we know Jesus would respond, "He who hears these words of mine and does them." That's the life that survives the big one. Christ in all of this is our help. It was Paul who would write, "May the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely." You see, the good news, believer, is that Christ supplies what Christ demands. And then as he calls us to come and to build upon this rock, to take these words of him and put them into practice, he gives us the grace we need to do that. Jesus gives us, we might say, all the building supplies we need. He gives us the blueprints. He delivers right to the site. He directs the work. He supplies the strength. You and I will survive the big one and many others along the way as we hear his words and do them. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, it has been a wonderful walk through this sermon. Thank you for your clear teaching. Thank you for your faithful preaching ministry. I pray, Lord, that we would receive the grace and strength, the power you give to be doers of the word and not simply hearers. Oh, how easy it is to learn and to hear, but fail to do. Lord, I pray that that would not be our lot. That with great joy, with newness of life, we would be doers of your word and not merely hearers. I pray these things in your matchless name. Amen.